Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Farmtown by Evergreen FS. FS Farmtown is a resource for lawn and garden products, from power equipment to mower repair and maintenance, and more. Details at evergreen-fs.com or at 1808 South Morrissey in Bloomington.
In a small corner of Illinois State University's campus, graduate students and volunteers are working to restore an area to its original condition. This is WGLT's Grow, your podcast source for practical gardening advice from our expert, Patrick Murphy, from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. I'm Mike McCurdy. Patrick, thanks for stopping by for another edition of Grow.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So tell me about this area. Where is it? How big is it? What are we talking about?
This area is attached to ISU's campus on its north end. It's approximately 18 acres. It could be a little bit less than that if you kind of diced out some of the creek that runs through this property. The creek runs from the northernmost part of the boundary all the way to the south part of this savanna, where it connects to the domesticated campus, actually near the men's ball field and University High School. There's also a local activity trail we all know as the Constitution Trail that could connect this area to other areas of interest that are nearby. The town of Normal has Fairview Park, ISU's Horticulture Center, all be part of that little network.
But speaking just from a biological standpoint, why this spot? There are probably many deserving areas. And so how is any area evaluated for a restoration area?
Well, in this case, it turns out in 1976, the Department of Biology, along with the help of Illinois State University leadership, dedicated this area for the purposes of outdoor study and an outdoor learning area. And if you go to this area today, parts of it are very difficult to even walk around because invasives have taken over part of it. But a little closer examination, you can see several plots of natives that have survived. There are a couple of other educational stations where the remnants are still there, but that is really all that is there. There's been a little bit of student activity in the last, say, 5 years.
So designating it sounds to me like it's better than doing nothing. At least you have the area sort of protected and not really doing anything on it. At least somebody is not doing something actively to destroy it.
It's a blessing for sure, and it's a great thing that a building hasn't popped up there. It's also important to preserve these natural spaces for study.
So what's the goal? You kind of talked about what condition it was already in. What's the goal?
The goal is to be able to allow the university first and the public second to be able to access the area and utilize it for the purposes of education, recreation, and also practice restoration techniques. Growing the plants that are needed for restoration are a big part of the puzzle. So that's the direction we'd like to see it go, and to have that level of inclusion and involvement leads one to develop access, because the access to this area is challenging right now. There's also very little for the visitor. There are no garbage cans, no picnic tables, nowhere to park your car close by, and there's no signage. There's no real demarcation of this area, so some of the basics could be practiced in this case, and it would be quite a bloom of development.
And what's happened so far? Has there been, you know, plants planted or recently, or just what about clearing out debris and garbage?
I've been here at the university for almost 6 years, and in the last 5 years, there have been a couple of independent study students and small student groups that have conducted some cleanups in this area. We did, in fall of 2018, have an independent study student that was very active. And he and I brought down a lot of invasive honeysuckle, and thank goodness we had the help of the good people at ISU Grounds to come and collect that debris and dispose of it properly. We've planted some native trees out there. We've made a map. We've inventoried what's there, and we've identified some opportunities to make enhancements that don't require a lot of outside involvement, like cleaning the creek up.
Sure, but you found evidence of positive use, too.
That's right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because the same independent study student from a year ago cleared a lot of hard debris out of this area, like old TVs. You know, I didn't know your TV would work back there, but apparently it did. And there was some camping debris. And the good sign that we came across was we found 3 footballs and over a dozen baseballs.
So people are using it for recreation.
Yeah. They have some favor with it.
What goes into the restoration effort then?
Restoration efforts usually begin with the definition of the space, and that has definitely happened. We had multiple students create the layout and a map to make a record of what's there now. And the university has sought the advice of firms that do restoration work. And that restoration work is not cheap. It's a lot more expensive than, say, routine landscaping is. And that cost was an impediment. So rather than having a big broad brush come through and fix everything, we've been doing it piece by piece, item by item, looking forward to the day that there's maybe a little more support to turn this area back into what it once represented, much more robust.
Is there an opportunity to do a burn there to clear out that area?
That is a great notion also, and the master student that's there now would have the option of developing that within the proper time constraints and maybe ask that student to secure a burn license, because that's something you can do as a restoration professional.
Because that would help maybe get rid of some of the invasives and benefit the natural plants that would be there.
It would help a lot. In the place of burning, there's also matting and bagging. Matting is where they put like a tarp down on the ground just to kill the vegetation that's there without disturbing the soil. They put in the proper plants, if you will, to create this balance of nature.
How far along is this restoration, and when will it be complete?
It's not very far along, and once some of the goals are met, say one goal could be to realize better access, the efforts will always be ongoing. But it's similar to like the bell curve when it comes to developing a landscape. The activity is highest in the beginning, and then after a crescendo is met, the property becomes a little bit more self-sustaining over time.
But there is ongoing maintenance, maybe forever.
Yes.
What are some challenges for this area?
The big challenge is that the creek is running through the middle of it. Vehicular and equipment access is limited. And it has some distribution network running through there. So there's an intersection of energized lines on power poles.
So overhead power lines.
Overhead power lines.
What kind of challenges does that present?
Well, those rights of way for those power lines have to be maintained by law, and they have to be maintained by the power company. But the power company, in general, let's say in a global aspect, have been very supportive of these types of efforts. And the master student that's working there now is in touch with the local energy cooperative that has been maintaining the lines in this area with the hope and goal of turning it into something that's similar to what's called the Great Western Trail in DuPage County, Illinois. That's up around, say, like St. Charles area. And Exelon Energy partnered with DuPage County and the towns in it, and they created this beautiful prairie restoration project, and it runs right under the lines and the towers in many places. So it's actually grateful that in this case the Corn Belt Energy and Ameren are in there doing the work that's needed to maintain those lines and keep those right-of-ways open. Those right-of-ways can also be used by the university in restoration efforts to get people and materials in and out of this savanna without disturbing the naturalized areas.
And how would you like to see this area used in the future?
I think it'd be great if the area had some benches and some seating, some things that make visiting it a little more easy to realize.
So not abandoned, but not quite user-friendly.
Yeah, yet. It'd be nice to have some signs out there and a clear way to get in and out.
If you have any gardening or landscape questions or a favorite natural area, get in touch with us and tell us about it or ask your question, and we might talk about it on an upcoming episode of Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.